Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6 as we continue through the book of Ephesians. A couple weeks ago, we began a series within our Ephesians series titled Preparing for Battle. Because the reality is we are already in the middle of a war. Now, this is not a physical war that we use our fists or the weapons of hand, but it's a spiritual war. Ephesians 6:12 tells us about the fact that there's this enemy out there that desires to keep us from living the way God has called us to live. And the fact is, the only way we can stand strong against the enemy's schemes is that if we clothe ourselves with the things of the Lord, if we put on His spiritual armor that He gives us to protect us. A couple weeks ago, we talked about putting on the characteristics of God. This spiritual armor, the characteristics of God. If you were here last week, we talked about that first part of the armor, the belt of truth. And we talked about the importance of knowing the truth. We talked about how the enemy tries to deceive us and to trick us into living a life of deception and being deceived. But when we learn what the truth is, it becomes less likely that we will fall into the lies and traps of the enemy. This morning we're going to take a look at the next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to put on to protect ourselves against the enemy. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we read in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. And I may sound like a broken record over the next several weeks as we'll continue to read each week this whole section of putting on the armor, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. But let's go ahead and pick it up right here in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." So after the belt of truth here, Paul tells us now to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was another important part of the armor for a soldier. Its purpose was to protect the vital organs of the soldier, most importantly, to protect the heart. You see, the weapon of choice in this time was either the sword or the spear. And the breastplate would help protect the soldier from having the spear or the sword go through his heart. And we know that the heart is a vital part of our physical body, and so a sword or spear to the heart meant certain death for a soldier in these times. And so, much like the actual breastplate protects the physical heart, the breastplate of righteousness helps protect our spiritual heart. But the question here is, what is righteousness? If we're called to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must know what righteousness is. This is the characteristic that God tells us that we, or that Paul tells us that we need to put on of God. So what does it mean to walk in righteousness? Well, the original meaning of righteous was to move in a straight line. Now, it can also be translated as to head in one direction, to go the right way. You see, righteousness means living or acting in the right way, heading in the right direction. So the question is, how is righteousness going to help us when it comes to the spiritual battles that we face each day? How is righteousness going to protect us from the enemy, from the evil one. Well, the first thing that I think we have to realize about righteousness is this, is that it's not something that we can achieve on our own. I mean, if we want to be truthful, the fact is we are all unrighteous. Romans 3:23 tells us, it says, "For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God." And when I read that, I think, well, that stinks, right? If we're all unrighteous, how can we put on the breastplate of righteousness? Well, we can find the answer to that in Romans 5:18 and 19. Romans 5:18 and 19 says this. It says, "Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone." So the sin of Adam brought condemnation to all of us. And it says, "But," and this is one of those nice buts here in the Bible, okay? The Bible's got some nice buts. It's got some bad buts, but also some nice buts. It says, "But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone." It goes on in verse 19, "Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners," or really all became sinners. "But because one other person obeyed God," which we know is Jesus, "many will be made righteous." You see, righteousness is a gift, and it can only be obtained in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and he offers us his grace, his forgiveness, so that we can walk in his righteousness. So Paul tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. God gives us the ability, through his grace and mercy, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. But the problem is that many of us, instead of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we often put on the breastplate of shame or the breastplate of guilt instead. You see, we can't see ourselves as righteous because our past failures or our past mistakes make us unworthy. But here's the thing. As Christians, we can't allow our past to dictate our future. Let me say that again. As Christians, we can't allow our past to dictate our future. God has basically given us a pardon. And he's given us the ability to walk in freedom, to walk in his righteousness. You see, here's what it's all about. Living in righteousness means living with a clear conscience. It means putting our failures behind us. It means knowing that you can walk through the day with your head held high, knowing that you have nothing to be ashamed of. Why? Is it because of something we did to redeem ourselves? No. It's because what Christ did for us, what Christ did to redeem us. Because of his sacrifice, we can now walk in righteousness, free of guilt, free of shame. When we live in unrighteousness, the opposite, there is something that we've done that can be held over our heads, something the enemy can hold against us, something he can use against us to enslave us. And he does it time and time again, and it's simply because we have failed to make it right with the Lord. We've allowed him to enslave us and to hold these things over us. I can give you a personal example in my own life. Several months ago, I shared with you a little bit of my testimony and some of my struggles. But as I mentioned early in my life, I was a good Christian kid, and people saw me as this great kid, involved in youth group, come to church, listens and obeys his parents for the most part. But there was something that I kept hidden. And it were these struggles that I was dealing with as I was dealing with pornography and masturbation and these things in my life that I felt like I didn't want to do them, but I didn't know how to get out of them because I felt like I was the only one in the world that struggled with these things. And I wanted to tell someone. I wanted to confess, but I was afraid of what they might think of me. And I was afraid to come forward. And so I struggled with these things, and the enemy kept me enslaved to my own failures. And I know a lot of times it'd be on the weekends, on a Friday or Saturday night, where I'd, you know, get into the pornography and get into these things, and then Sunday morning, what happens? I come to church, and I'm worshiping and trying to praise the Lord, but I'm struggling because I feel the guilt and shame, and because I do it again, and I failed again and again, and because I haven't been able to confess and talk to someone about it, I allow the enemy to control me and enslave me, and I fail to grow in the way that God desired me to grow at that time in my life. You see, sin immobilizes us and keeps us from being effective Christians. But if we can learn to walk in righteousness, it gives us freedom and the ability to tell Satan to get behind us, because he's got nothing against us. We walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As I talked about these struggles I went through high school, it was as I was at college age, part of the college age group at our church, hanging out with some guys regularly, but there was one guy in particular that I hung out with all the time. And one night we were hanging out in his room. We're just talking about the Lord in our lives, and all of a sudden he just began to spew on me. And he began to pour out and confess all these things they'd been struggling with, all these things that I had been struggling. He began to talk about pornography and masturbation, how he'd been going farther than he wanted to with his girlfriend and pushing her in these areas and feeling this guilt and shame. And he's spewing all these things out, confessing all these things to me. And I have to tell you, as he's beginning to share all these things, I have to admit there's this little smile coming to my face. And not because I was happy about his sins and the things that he's done, but because I'm thinking, here's someone I can confess to. He'll understand. I'm not the only one that struggles with these things. And together we began to share with one another and confess to one another and spew on each other and started to just sit there and cry together. And I'm so glad nobody walked into the room. But it was an amazing time of us getting this stuff off of our chest, releasing it to the Lord and to one another. And you see, when I finally came clean, there was this huge burden that was lifted off my back. Because the enemy no longer had anything against me. Because now I could walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, God knows the importance of righteousness in our lives, and he desires that we seek after it. Matthew 5:16 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." God wants us to hunger for righteousness. And if you were here, I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we sung a song about being hungry. And I kind of commented about, do we really know what it means to be hungry? How our kids say, "I'm starving, I'm so hungry." You know, our response is, yeah, talk to some of the young kids in Africa. They'll tell you what hungry is. Do we really know what it means to be hungry for something, to thirst for something? Now, I have a little glimpse of that from a time I spent in the Marine Corps. When I was in my time in the Marine Corps, I spent a year with recon, and in that year they sent me off to a school, SERE school, S-E-R-E, stood for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape School. And a big part of that school was learning to survive and trying to escape the fake enemy that they had chasing you down. But in the first 3 days, we were out surviving off the land, and basically we had nothing to eat. You know, maybe you were lucky if you got some berries, or if you were brave enough to eat some ants or grasshoppers or something like that. But basically for the first 3 days, we went with nothing. And after 3 days, man, I'm hungry. And then we went into the prison camp, you know, this fake prison camp, and while we were in there, the first 2 days in there, we got nothing, no food, no nothing. So 5 days and I'm starving. My stomach feels like it's shrinking to nothing, and the pain, the hunger pains that you experienced in that time. So that desire for food, and I can tell you, as soon as I got out, the first thing I did was went and I ate some food, and unfortunately it was McDonald's, but I pounded it down because I was so hungry. That's all I could think about in that time. Any time when I was thinking, all I could think about was food because I was so hungry. And God's desire is He wants us to hunger for righteousness, to desire it with all that we are, because He knows that it's His righteousness that protects us from the enemy. You see, when we walk in that righteousness, the attacks of the enemy fall by the wayside because His accusations have no weight in them. Why? Because we're new creations in Christ, walking in His righteousness. I want to finish this morning by sharing with you three things we can do to help us continue to walk in righteousness. These three things come from a lifetime of failures and struggles in my life. 40 years of my life. In this time, the Lord has brought these things to me, these three things of how to walk in righteousness, how to stay strong in Him, and I want to share them with you this morning. And the first one is this, is that number one, we must identify the sin in our lives. We must identify the sin in our life. I've already shared with you Romans 3:23, where it says, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory. And the thing is, all of us will have times in our life where we're going to fail and we're going to make mistakes, which is why we have to regularly be checking ourselves. We regularly have to be evaluating, where are we at? Are there things in my life? Are there sins in my life? Looking for those places where we've allowed sin to creep in, because sometimes it creeps in and we don't even realize it. And that's why it's so important we come before the Lord and we seek that He would reveal that sin to us so that we can take care of it. You see, a lot of times it's those little things that don't seem like much. Well, that's not really that big of a deal. But what happens is those little things, they begin to grow. And those little things become big things. And those big things become bigger things. And then we find ourselves being controlled and enslaved by the enemy and failing to walk in His righteousness. We must identify the sin in our lives. We must regularly be looking and saying, Lord, is there any area of my life? I think daily we should be saying, Lord, is there anything I did yesterday? Is there anything I've done? What are the things that I need to give to You so that I can walk in Your righteousness? We've got to identify this in our lives. The second thing is this, and this is the big one. This is the one that's changed my life, and it's that we have to get rid of the cause. We must get rid of the cause. Let me share with you an illustration. This illustration has become a part of who I am in my youth ministry, and I've shared it numerous times at camps and different things. It's a great illustration of learning to experience righteousness in your life. I got it out of a book. I don't even remember what book. All I can remember is the book was red, and I got, like, in 1996, a pastor gave me this book, and I remember reading it, and I gave it back to him. I don't remember the name of it, but it was an amazing book. But it had this illustration in it or something like it. I've changed it a little bit, but it's this illustration. Let's just say that you have just made this decision that you are going to cut out all sweets, that you're going on a diet, that you're like, sugar is gone. Okay? I'm done with it. I'm speaking to myself right here. I need to lose a little weight. I'm the heaviest I've been here, you know, in my life. I need to lose a little weight here, and maybe I'm speaking to myself this morning, but you decide to go on this diet. And you say, I'm cutting out all sweets, all that kind of stuff. And then a crazy thing happens. Right next to your office, this wonderful bakery sweet shop opens up. Okay? You're like, oh no. And you know, maybe that first week you're doing good, but you know, every day by lunchtime, it wafts into your office and you're just like smelling the sweet cinnamon rolls and the chocolate eclairs and the tarts and all these things that are being made over there. I'm sorry, we're all about hungry, aren't we now? And we're wanting to go get something to eat. Just give me a few more minutes here. But it's wafting over there and you're thinking, oh my gosh, why does it have to be right next door? Why does that temptation have to be there? And that's what happens. It's always, the temptations are always around us. And so we're thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And we battle it for a while, but eventually we give in to that temptation. And as we're leaving our office that day, it's still open, and you see this sign that says, special half off on chocolate eclairs. And you see this chocolate eclair sitting in the case there through the window, you know, with the pastry and the chocolate drizzling over it and the cream coming out and the whipped cream on top. And you're just like salivating, thinking, okay, and so you walk in, right? And you buy the eclair. And you take it and you're like, okay, I don't want to eat it here because there's proof that I'm eating it. So you kind of hide it and you take it to your car, right? And you put it in your car and you're about to drive and the guilt begins to set in. And you're thinking, oh no, I can't eat this thing. But here's the thing, you drive up to your house, you get out, you take the eclair and you're just like holding it, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. You go and you put it in the fridge, you close the fridge, you go to your bedroom, you kneel down beside your bed and you start to pray. Heavenly Father, please help me not eat that chocolate eclair. The question is, do you think God can honor that prayer? Why is the chocolate eclair sitting in the refrigerator? Why is it in the refrigerator, not the trash? We do this in our life. We want to walk away from these things, but yet we keep them in this place so that if I fail later, it's there to eat, right? We got to get the eclairs out of the fridge. We got to get those things in our life that continue to cause us to fall. We need to get rid of them. This was me in Okinawa. I was struggling with pornography and struggling with these things. And I kept saying, Lord, help me. Help me to say no to these things. Help me to quit falling into these traps. But guess what's in my dresser just right next to my bed? Videos and magazines. If I really want to say no to those things, what should I do? I should throw them away, get rid of them. We have to get the eclairs out of the refrigerator. We have to get those things out of our life. And whatever you need to do, I know internet is a huge thing. That's why me and some guys in Newburgh years ago, we got onto the number one Christian porn site in America, okay? XXXChurch.com. And when I say it's the number one porn site, because what they're about is helping men and women deal and get off porn. Okay? XXXChurch.com. Be very careful when you type it in. Type it in the right way. XXXChurch.com. Okay? But it's got this great software called X3 Watch. And what it does, you put it on your computer, and then if you disable it, it sends an email to whoever you choose. You choose two people. Whoever you've chosen as your accountability partners, it sends it to them and tells them, your friend just disabled this program. So then you're able to, hey, why did you disable this program? And if you don't disable and you go to questionable sites, it will pop up every 2 weeks. You get a thing saying they visited these sites. And anything that may be questionable, and you can tell by the wording in the website thing, you know, the link. And we don't press on them. We've made the agreement. We're not going to, oh, is this? Because that just brings us into failure, right? And we see them and we call them on it. We say, hey, I saw something pop up there that was a little questionable, you know. And sometimes, oh, no, that was, I was looking this or that. It's not, you know. But sometimes they're like, I failed. And we pray. We pray together. We talk about it. And it's holding ourselves accountable. So whatever it is for you, whatever you need to do, there are ways that we can get those eclairs out of the refrigerator. There are things that we can do. Because some people say, oh, well, yeah, but just nowadays you can't. No. That's the enemy talking, telling us, oh, there's no way to get, there are ways to get the eclairs out of the refrigerator. There are things that we can do to protect ourselves. And the only way that we're going to truly walk in righteousness is if we get rid of those things that continue to cause us to fall into unrighteousness. And then the third thing is this, is that we must deal with the repercussions. We must deal with that sin that's been in our life. And let me just explain what I mean by that. And this is, again, one of those things that's worked through the struggles that I had in my life. But the longer we engage in sin, the greater effects that that sin has on you and on your family and on your life. And it just goes on and on. The longer you engage in it, the more difficult it is sometimes to get out of it. Let me just share with you another little illustration that the Lord gave me, and I call it my swamp illustration. And it's the reality that God calls us to walk on this straight and narrow path. And I always vision that on each side are these swamps. And God's desire is that we would just keep walking, that we would stay away from those swamps. But the reality is that as we're walking down this path of life, there are things that are happening in those swamps that draw our attention. The enemy flashes things to us, and we're like, what was that? That kind of looks cool, right? And we're drawn to it. And what happens is we tend to kind of try to get a little bit closer. And those sometimes as we're getting closer, we slip into that swamp. Now, when we first slip in or first step into that swamp, there's two decisions we have at that moment in our life, okay? Either we can respond the way that God desires us to respond. As we slip into that swamp, we can go, whoa, wait, what am I doing here? Get back on the path, get out the hose ourselves, wash our feet off, wash off whatever got into that swamp. Because it says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God would desire for us to do. And we wash off and we just keep moving on the path. And it's those kind of little slips that it's easy. Get back on and continue to go. But what sometimes happens is we slip in and our foot gets in and we go, oh, that's not as bad as that. It's kind of warm. I kind of like the gooiness between my toes. That's kind of nice, right? As the enemy draws us in. That's not too bad. And so then what we do, we step out a little farther and then we bring the other foot in and we begin to step out into the swamp. And it's like, this kind of feels nice. And then the next thing we know, we're wading in the swamp. And wow, this wasn't as bad. Everybody said this was bad. Why does God think this isn't bad? This is good. This feels good. This is how a lot of us fall into these traps, because it feels good. It feels right in those circumstances. But here's the thing. The longer you wait around in that swamp, the more opportunity there is for things to attach to you. And let me tell you why. I spent about 2 months in the Philippines. From Okinawa, we went over to the Philippines. And over there, we would do training as a reconnaissance team. 6 to 7 of us would go out at a time doing these mock missions and things that we were supposed to do. Well, this one particular time, we were sent out for this mock mission. And, you know, we had our map and what we were supposed to do and where we were going to be dropped off and everything. And the thing is where they told us they were dropping us is not where they dropped us. So we're in this middle of this thick jungle, and we were told, here's your coordinates, here's where you're going to be. We get there. The Humvee takes off, and we're kind of getting our bearings and trying to line up our map and figure things out and starting to follow our compass. And we realize, as we begin to move, things are not matching up. And we didn't realize this at the time. We didn't know that we had been dropped in the wrong place. We're like, okay, if we were really dropped here, why is nothing matching up? And we're in this thick jungle, mosquitoes. It is disgustingly hot and humid, and it's this horrible feeling when you're lost in this middle of this jungle covering, and you have no way of knowing how or when you're going to get out of this place. And so we tried to climb up trees, but still couldn't see, and we're just kind of hacking through bamboo and trying to get through. And in the process there, as we're trying to figure out where we're at and get our bearing, I went to go push down some bamboo to step over, and bamboo shot right up into my hand, and blood began to spurt out. We had a Filipino Marine there, and I didn't see it at first. It shot because it was so smooth the way it shot up in there. I didn't even feel it. And all of a sudden, he's like freaking out. I look down, I just see blood just spurting out of my hand. So I'm like, oh no, you know. And so, you know, we get wrapped up, and we call in, and we're like, okay, you know, we got someone that split their hand open, is bleeding pretty badly. We need to get out of this place. But they didn't know where we were, and we didn't know where we were. And the jungle was too thick for anyone to try to fly over and find us or even come in to get us. And so we continue to push through. I'm getting weaker through this time, and we're all getting tired. And by this time, we're starting to run out of water because the mission was not supposed to go the way that it's been going. And we finally come to this stream. And it's kind of, you know, much like the creek over here. It's about that size, about right now, this time of year. You know, it's not too deep. It's about waist thick and sometimes a little bit higher, sometimes a little bit lower. And we realize if this is the creek that we think it is, we know where it will eventually take us to that we can get out and get back to where we need to go. And so we decide we're just gonna go along. The rest of the jungle is so thick anyways, we're just having to cut through stuff. So we just decide to walk through this creek. And this is, when I say creek, it's not like over here where it's clean water. This is disgusting, brown, gross, horrible, swampy yuck. Okay? We spent 18 hours walking down through this stuff, having times where I have extra backpack on because one of the other guys is like about to pass out and faint, and we're carrying him kind of, and other people are taking on his gear. And we're dying here. And throughout the time, I just kept feeling like, you got mosquitoes here biting you, and then you got other stuff biting you, and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know. For 18 hours, we get out of this mess, and we get to this place where we know where we're at now, and we call in, and they come get us, bring us back to our barracks, and we're just exhausted because it was 18 hours, and that overall, it was about 26 hours that we were out in this stuff. No sleep, nothing. We're just like exhausted. And I'm just ready. My mind is, I'm a little bit hungry, and we thought, rip down, shower, go grab a bite to eat, and just go to bed. That was our idea. And I'm just about taking my stuff up, and all of a sudden I hear one of the other guys go, oh man, leeches. As soon as he says that, I remember these bites on my leg. And I'm like, no, and I pull my pants down, and I look, and I've got 3 leeches attached to me. And I don't know if you know about leeches. You don't just wash them off, right? It's not just like rinse yourself off and then you're good. No, they attach on. And I don't know if it's the proper way, but someone had a lighter and we took a lighter. So you're having to burn it, which is burning you a little bit. And you take a knife and you scrape them off. And it's not the most pleasant thing in the world. It hurts and it's painful. But we had to do that to get them off. And then the thing is, I didn't know this, but someone told me they put in some sort of thing when they bite into you that keeps you from clogging up, that keeps you from blotting up, whatever the word I'm trying to think, clotting up. Yeah, clotting up. So throughout that next 11, 12 hours, I've got this slow little drip of blood that keeps coming out. You keep putting bandages, put stuff on it, but it just keeps dripping and oozing out. And about 12 hours later, finally, the blood stops. And finally, you kind of feel like, okay, we can go on now. All right, we're getting back to some normalcy. But the leeches is what happens when we get into the swamp. You see, the thing is when we get out of that swamp, when we finally do pull ourselves back to that path that God has for us, we can wash ourselves off. And God says He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but now we have things that have attached themselves to us. That it's not like it's all of a sudden gone, like we can just forget we ever did that, but because there's repercussions of what we did and the failures and the struggles that we've gone through, and we have to deal with them. And how we deal with these leeches in our life when we've fallen into that prolonged sin, it's different for each and every one of us. But I think a great start is finding someone that we can be honest with and that we can be accountable to, that we can really pour out in truth the struggles and the failures that we've gone through, the things that have attached themselves to us, someone who can pray with us and that's willing to continue to come alongside us and ask us, how are we doing? How are you doing in this area? We know this is something that you've struggled in, and not in a way to condemn you, but in a loving way to come alongside you and help you walk out of these things. Because the fact is that if we try to hide them and we try to handle them ourselves, those leeches are going to continue to suck the blood out of your life. And you're going to continue to find yourself continuing to fall into those areas and those struggles that you'll never, ever fully be able to walk out of. The Lord is the only one that can truly bring healing to the repercussions in our life, and we need to seek Him first and foremost. Give it to Him. Seek guidance from people. You have people here in this church that we are here to help you. We say, come as you are, and we mean that. We don't care how messed up people are. When they walk in this place, we want them to come as they are. And our desire is to come alongside them and help them remove those leeches, help them walk out of this life of struggles and failures so that they can walk in the righteousness that God has called them to walk in. When we do this, when we deal with this, when we do it in the way God's called us, it's then and only then that we'll be able to stand strong. Because then the enemy literally will have nothing to hold over our heads, that we can truly walk in His righteousness. And I don't know about you, but that's my desire, to walk in His righteousness, to not allow the enemy to have control of my life, but to fully give God every access in every part of my life. Amen? Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you provided a way for us to walk in righteousness. There's nothing that we can do, Lord, that makes us righteous. Lord, we in ourselves are going to fail. We in ourselves are going to make mistakes, Lord, but it's through you that we can experience your righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. For maybe some of us that have, maybe there's some of us in this room that we're out in that swamp and we don't know what to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, a hunger and a thirst to get out of that swamp, to confess and to clean up and to allow you to remove those leeches and those struggles in our lives that we need to just give to you, Lord. Lord, you are a God that heals. Time and time throughout your word, we see that you touch people and they're healed, Lord. And it's not just the physical healing of the body, but Lord, it's the healing of the spirit and the soul as well, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you want to bring healing into our lives. Your word says you didn't come to condemn the world, but you came to save it. And Lord, your desire is that we would accept your pardon, that we would accept your righteousness, that we may walk in it, Lord, that we may be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy in this battle that we walk in each and every day, Lord. Lord, I know so often the reason we continue to fail is because the enemy tells us we're not worthy. The enemy reminds us of our failures and reminds us of our mistakes, but your word says you take those, Lord, and when we confess them to you, you throw them as far as the east is from the west. You make them disappear. You forget them, Lord. We're the ones that remember them. The enemy remembers and tries to remind us, but we can walk in your righteousness if we will just grab hold of it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word, and I just pray that, Lord, you continue to drive us towards you, to hunger and thirst for your righteousness, to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be people that once again reclaim our voice for you, Lord. Lord, I think this is a word not just for the church as a whole, but for individuals, Lord, that maybe we're like me, that we're this good Christian kid and then fell, and it's about coming back to who God has called you to be, reclaiming that voice that God began in you at an early age. Help us, Lord, to walk in your righteousness and to reclaim the voice that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. And that as we reclaim that for ourselves, Lord, we will be able to reclaim that as a whole for our church and for our community. Lord, we give you this word. We give you this time. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen.